Living Powerfully Now. Living Powerfully Now. This is a seminar in the present. This is Lecture 7. Living Powerfully Now. The wonderful thing about living, the wonderful thing about being, the wonderful thing about life is that we are constantly inspired by beautiful ideas. We are constantly illuminated by wonderful concepts. We are constantly made aware that the divine in us is there, that the divine in us is ready, willing, and able to be whatever it is at any time that it chooses to be there. Now, you say, well, my goodness, you mean it's up to the divine whether it wants to be there? Yes. And the divine has made a decision. And the decision of the divine is that I am with you always. I am with you always. I am one as you always. I am one as you always. I am never separated from you. I am never separated from who you are and who I am. We are one. And so, when you receive illuminations, inspirations about something wonderful, believe and know that it is the divine in you shining forth, saying that this is what it's all about. Now, we all would like to learn how to meditate. We all would like to learn how to tune in to the divine more completely, more wonderfully, more readily. And then we ask how. How can we do it? Well, one reason we cannot do it is that we are looking at appearances and believing that that's our reality. We're looking at the illusions of life and saying, that's all she writes. We're looking at all of the experiences we have every day in our life, and we say, this is who we really are. And it's not who we really are. Who we really are is our divine self. Who we really are is the imagination. Who we really are is that little child in us that has is uninhibited. It can just do anything. It knows it can do anything. I know it all. I know it all. Now, even now, as we speak from the divine point of view, and we say the little child says, I know it all, we find that to be a little bit unacceptable. We find that to be a little bit unbelievable. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? We know the autism within the child brings forth many things that are very strange indeed. We know that a Mozart and that an Einstein and that other people who are brilliant and absolutely wonderful shine that forth out at an early age, at an age where they had had no outer training, no outer understanding of these things. In fact, they rebelled against the outer understanding because they wanted to walk by the inner light that they are. You and I, we walk by the inner light that we are all the time. And we feel good about ourselves. We look at something and we just sort of giggle all over it. We look at something, we just feel a love within us, an unconditional love within us. We are aware of nice people in this world, of nice circumstances in this world, and nice attitudes in this world. And as we look at these nice attitudes, we think to ourselves, wow, that is truly great. Now, would that have been great if we had not noticed it? Would that have been great if we were unaware that that was taking place in our life? Would that have been great if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it? That's the conundrum that we've been given often. A child expresses infinite wisdom, and we do not have the wisdom ourselves to recognize it. Another person says something profound, and we know it's profound, but it is more profound than we can understand. And so we let it pass by, not realizing that there, but for the grace of God, go each of us, not recognizing the divinity within us when all the time it is there and responding at all times. How can you train yourself? How can I train myself to listen within, to meditate within, to be aware of who the divine is in me and what the divine is in me? Indeed, God in me is always talking. God in me is flowing with the most wonderful concepts and ideas that I could ever want to have or imagine. It's always flowing through me. God in me is flowing. Now, what happens when God in me flows? What happens when the divine in me flows? How do I really know it? Sometimes I think they're too far out, the concepts that are being shot through my mind. Sometimes they're just crazy, insane, totally unbelievable, unreasonable. And that's exactly what they are. They are not sound. They are not sane. They are not reasonable. There is no reason, no logic to what the divine does. There's no reason or logic to anything that we consider the divine having done in this universe of ours. It's all far out, very far out. And we see it, observe it, and ignore it. We see it, observe it, and ignore it because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that we could do something so great. If Mozart doubted that he could write music, that he could compose music, that he could take the music that he hears in his soul, in his heart, in his being, and write those notes down, note perfect, never having studied music, never having had any courses in musicology, never having any understanding of how music is to be written down. And music is not an easy thing to write down, because you got to know your scales, your chords, you got to know your treble, your bass clef, you got to know all these things that music entails. But Mozart had no concern for that. He knew intuitively, and he listened and he followed intuitively and did it. This is what each of us want to do. Listen intuitively to the divine within and follow intuitively what the divine says to us and write down, if we wish, or speak, or live intuitively and factually what the divine says to us. Now, Shakespeare wrote down what the divine said to him, and it was factual, and it was correct, and it was found to be something true by all the people who heard it, saw it, and they all put it to the test of what it really meant. Was he being a satire on his local government? Was he being a storyteller? Well, I feel he was being a storyteller, telling it just the way he saw it, without any judgment, without any limitation. And because he did that, he wrote beautifully. He wrote magnificently. And it is up to you, you, the listener, who goes on to judge. If you can hear beautiful music without judging it, and just hear it and say, wow, that's glorious. But when you start saying, what key is it in? You start saying, what sort of instruments are playing it? You start saying, it was Mozart who wrote it. What age was he? And you see, right away, we get all confused with the story rather than with the inspiration that comes from within. You and I have this inspiration that comes from within all the time. We want to learn to meditate, learn to listen within, learn to let the inner guidance dwell in us, guide us, show us the way, illumine us, and then truly we have stepped into the first stage of illumination, of meditation. We have stepped into the first stage of understanding our divine self. We have stepped into the first stage of knowing all that we are and how great we are. It's a decision we have to make for ourselves. It's a decision we have to follow through for ourselves. It's a decision we say, is that what it's all about? When the disciples or the crowds of people listened to Jesus, did they understand him because of the parables that he used? Or did they understand him because they saw in him the divine being revealing itself to mankind? Now, I doubt that many of them saw that. I doubt that many of the people who were in Jesus' time saw in him a great master, a great being, a great wizard, a spiritually illumined being. Do you think that in Mozart's time they saw him as an illumined, spiritually wizard? Do you think they thought Shakespeare was this way as he was coming out with his beautiful stories? Did they believe in Einstein? Did they believe in anybody? But these people believed in themselves. Not saying, I believe in myself, but just believing in themselves and following through with what they're doing and knowing that what they're doing is fine. It is just fine. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody else. That's in the back of their mind. I'm not trying to make money off of this. I'm expressing the divine in me. I'm expressing the magic in me. I'm expressing the genius in me. I'm expressing my divine. And they have this intuitive awareness just like you do. You walk into a beautiful cathedral, and the cathedral is a monstrosity. It is built out of the blood, sweat, and tears of millions of people. It is built beautiful. It has stained glass windows. It has bells and chimes and organs and choirs and priests and ministers speaking there. But you walk in there, and you walk in and you feel its purpose. The purpose of this wonderful cathedral is to say to you, to me, be still and know that I am God. Be still and listen to the divine in you, in me. No judgment how this was built, where it was built, who it was built, what blood, sweat, and tears went into it, what different priests have come through here, noble, ignoble, what has happened here throughout the years. We look at the Vatican and we look at the Sistine Chapel. And we hear the story of the Sistine Chapel and how it was built and how it was created and how some of the popes had not been too cool and how other popes had been rather remarkable, but how all the time the structure stood out because it was designed as a piece of meditation. It was designed as a symbol. It was designed as something that leads a person or opens a way for a person to go into meditation. Entering this sanctuary, we are encouraged to stillness. Entering this sanctuary, we believe that all is good. We believe that we do not think of the past. We do not think of the people who built it and the popes who have brought it forth and the other people who brought it out. We don't think of the people who are restoring the art today. We don't think of the writings of Michelangelo. And as we look at the writings in the Vatican, they're telling us that the metallic in the ink is beginning to fade and they are losing the original. Well, we will always go on. And the divine tells us in no uncertain terms that we should not lay hold of the material, the physical, because it's passing. And to prove it to us, volcanoes erupt and wash away whole communities, and earthquakes take place and swallow up whole communities. The tectonic plates over their period of time, to us endless but to them timeless, move along, scouring the earth, revealing new communities, new lives, new worlds. And perhaps this goes on in many other galaxies, in many other planets that are earthbound, that are able to support oxygen and life, yes, or otherwise. The stars bump into each other and completely destroy each other. The black hole of outer space swallows up stars, and we think to ourselves, my goodness, how can it be that way? That's terrible. No, it's not terrible. The ocean waves are great and grand indeed, and they toss and tumble boats, and they think nothing of them. And the little sailboat that a man sails across the ocean by himself goes through these storms, not because the little sailboat is capable of it, but because the man's mind says, I shall succeed. I shall continue. He didn't give up. And some of the bigger boats, people just gave up. Oh, the wave is coming and going to swallow us up and going to do. And sure enough, it does. But we are that way. Star Trek had an interesting little story. It was telling about these people down on another planet doing from Earth and on this planet doing studies. And then all of a sudden, they all died and they all froze to death. And then one of the crewmen of the Star Trek was looking under a table, and he took his glove off. And as he took his glove off, a piece of blood that was there, had been frozen, was frozen, crawled over and jumped onto his hand. And I think that that's the term contagious. It is contagious. It is able to have a mind of its own. But did this want to continue itself? Did it want to? What's the reason behind it? The reason behind it is that all life is a continuing epic. All matter is a continuing epic. And as we think of these things, we don't think of them as horrible. We don't think of them as terrible. Because as the Star Trek crew proved to themselves, they were able to inoculate themselves from that illness. They were able to be on top of it and not to be taken in by it. Masters indeed. Masters indeed. And what are you? And what am I? Where is the cathedral for us? Do we go to the great city or the great hilltops and go into the great buildings? Or is a cathedral within each one of us? Is a cathedral so far expansive that we haven't even walked from one end of it to the other in our own inner being? We walk in and we go just to the altar and we pray and we say, all is in divine order. And we don't even walk to the various rooms in the cathedral. We don't even walk around and see what's going on there and who's there. It doesn't interest us. We came for illumination, and we received illumination. We didn't let ourselves be distracted. We didn't let ourselves be taken aside and made to think about things that were not beneficial to us. We took our attention 100% on listening to the divine within. We went into the temple in ourself, in a church temple anywhere. And in that temple, we became still. We let go and let God. We let go and we let the divine shine forth in us to be all that it is. We let the divine shine forth in us being all that it is. And as we said, I let go and let God. As we say, I let go and let the divine in me be all that I am. As we affirm this, know this, believe this, live this, we are this. For this is our reality. This is the truth about us. This is what's so tremendously, wonderfully, powerfully important in our life. To live our life fantastic in every way. We each one are divine. Now we turn on our divinity, and all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding, all illumination is ours now and forevermore. For that's my reality. That's your reality. That's why we're here, to remember. We're here to remember that we are divine. And we are divine right now and forevermore.